Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
The Bible contains remarkable stories of miracles and divine interventions. Moses parted the sea. Peter healed a man lame from his mother's womb. Jesus drove demons out of people and raised others from the dead. But are these types of events still happening today?
We too have a beam of divine light and guidance that God has put within the heart of every man. And it's one of the greatest proofs that there is a God.
More amazing supernatural things are happening than we realize.
This is Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Divine Intervention was created and produced with the purpose of encouraging believers, spiritual seekers, and skeptics alike that Jesus is alive and is still performing miracles and working in the world today.
I believe in miracles.
Here's your host, Daniel Fazina.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Divine Intervention. That's right, I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and it is so wonderful to be with you today. Man, there's so much going on and so much to talk about. Got a wonderful show lined up for you today with some really cool guests who I think you're going to enjoy hearing from. First of all, I want to start out by reminding you that you can connect with me and the Divine Intervention Radio Show on Facebook at facebook.com/Divine Intervention Radio. And I have been pulled kicking and screaming into the world of Twitter. Yes, I am now on Twitter. You can follow me if you want at Daniel Fazina 1. That's Daniel Fazina, the numeral 1, on Twitter. If you just put Daniel Fazina, you'll get my cousin from England. He's a rock musician. And yeah, just want to make sure you get the right Daniel Fazina. I also want to let you know about the brand new, redone, redesigned Divine Intervention Radio website. That's right, it just launched, and it looks so much more professional. DivineInterventionRadio.com. Check it out. Let me know your thoughts. You can post prayer requests, testimonials. It's got a nice media page, and you can also listen to all the archives, of course, of Divine Intervention Radio there. So do me a favor, check it out, let me know what you think, leave your comments, or you can email me, divineintervention@mail.com, divineintervention, all one word, @mail.com. Would love to know your thoughts on that. In addition to the brand new redesigned divineinterventionradio.com website, I have a new book coming out, which I'm very excited about, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. By God's grace, will be released on August 5th, 2014 by Charisma House Publishers. I'm very excited about this. This is going to be my best book yet. 50 true stories from people from all over the world who've experienced things like answered prayers, conversion experiences, even resurrections, miraculous healings. The stories are going to be shorter than my previous books, if you're familiar with those. These are going to be article length, roughly 1,200 words or so. The stories are they're tight, they are well edited, and this book is going to include not only contact information for each of the people for you to contact and follow up with if you like, but it's also going to include photographs and medical documentation, x-rays, CT scans, MRIs, doctor's reports, in the case of those miracles that have to do with medical healings. So I'm very excited about this. I think it's something that's desperately needed for today's world. You know, whether you're a believer in Jesus or a skeptic, I think this book is going to be an eye-opener for you. If you're a believer, it's going to encourage you in your faith and hopefully strengthen it in Jesus. If you're a skeptic, it's really going to challenge you. And, you know, friend, I've heard it said that for the true believer, no evidence is necessary. But for the true skeptic, no amount of evidence would be sufficient. And I think that's true to a large extent. You know, when you debate with people and when you talk to them, a lot of people have already made up their minds as to the reality of God and Jesus. So I don't think reading this book will change anyone's mind. However, for those people who are in the middle, who are open-minded, they are seeking answers, they're questioning things, and they really want to know the truth. For those people, I think having medical documentation and pictures and things to back up these stories will go a long way in helping them maybe to make up their own mind to pursue Jesus, to really investigate if he's real, to ask him, to talk to God, you know, that kind of thing. So again, if you're already a believer, it's only going to strengthen your faith. If you're a true skeptic, hopefully it'll challenge you at least. And if you're on the fence, I think this book will be a real eye-opener for you. So again, the book is called Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today. It's coming out by Charisma House Publishers on August 5th, 2014. So look for it then. And there will be offers to buy it pre-sale on my website, divineinterventionradio.com. So do check in often. All right, that's enough with the shameless plugs. Friend, how are you doing? There's so much been going on in my life, and I want to talk to you right now about the fragility of life and just how tenuous it can be. You know, tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Right now, it's May 2014, and I've already lost three friends this year, two of whom were young, 40 years old or under, who died suddenly. Friends from high school, you know, and I also lost a dear aunt who actually helped me edit my first and second books of Divine Intervention. She wasn't an aunt by blood, but I considered her my aunt because she was my best friend's aunt, and I pretty much grew up with her. And it was kind of shocking, you know, and I went back to Long Island for the funeral, and man, I just encountered so much sadness and really just despair. It was really heartbreaking to see so many of my friends just wallowing in despair, you know? I tell you, friend, if you want a good place for ministry, just go to a bar. I went to a bar with some old friends after the funeral, you know, and there were several people there who were mourning the loss of loved ones, not just my good friend, but among his circle of friends and my old friends. So it was just a tragic scene, you know, seeing people wallowing in their misery, in their unbelief, really. These people were, many of them are atheists and agnostics, and you know, a lot of them were lamenting their own divorces and broken families, and it was just really heartbreaking. But on a positive note, the Lord did give me opportunities to minister to some of these people, some of my old friends. I got to pray with one old friend who I hadn't seen in years, who was an atheist, and he allowed me to pray for him, which was really cool. And another positive note was that on the way home to Long Island, I actually met an old friend from high school. He was on the train, and we got to talking, and I hadn't seen him in 20 years thereabouts. And I was so encouraged to learn that he had given his life to the Lord, and you know, he was sharing about his spiritual journey, which was awesome to see. He was one of those kids who was a really nice kid, but just not really interested in studying, kind of a cut-up, not a mean or a bad kid, but just kind of a fun-loving troublemaker, if you will, in high school. Didn't apply himself or study at all, and, you know, to see that he's, you know, married with two kids now, and he's pursuing the Lord and doing well, that was a real highlight. So I was very encouraged with that. You know, it's so funny because you just never know the people you're impacting, because he told me that although he hadn't seen me in 20 years, he would occasionally listen to the Divine Intervention radio show, and a friend of his told him about it. He's like, hey, I know that kid. I went to high school with him. Very interesting. So, friend, you just never know how God is using you. People are watching. They're listening. You just never know. So I would encourage you to just live for the Lord, whatever you're doing. And even if it doesn't seem like you're making a difference, you are. People are watching you. Trust me. I had one friend just a couple weeks ago who he reached out to me. This is another friend from high school. I kind of lost track of him after high school. I saw him once maybe in 10 years, and then I saw him again at the 20-year reunion this past summer. But he reached out to me on Facebook just a couple weeks ago. He responded to a post I made about me sharing my testimony on the 700 Club, or maybe it was TBN's Praise the Lord. But anyway, he had questions, and this is a kid who I knew just kind of in passing, but I always had a heart for him. He's just a really good kid, and I felt like I wanted to witness to him and share the gospel with him, even when I reconnected briefly with him, you know, about 10 years ago. But I had the awesome privilege of being able to lead him to the Lord over the phone just a couple weeks ago after we connected, you know, via Facebook. And what precipitated this? He had a pulmonary embolism, which the doctor still can't find out what happened or where it came from or why he had it. He wasn't ill or anything. For those who aren't familiar, pulmonary embolisms are very serious. They're basically blood clots in your lung that can kill you. My wife is a doctor, and she was telling me that there's quite a high mortality rate with people who have those, somewhere upwards of like 90% or so. So, you know, I was able to pray with my friend and tell him that, you know, I think this was God's wake-up call for him. And he said, yeah, you know, I it really caused me to think about, you know, life and religion and stuff like that. He was raised in a household where I think his one parent was Jewish and one was Catholic, but they really didn't practice any religion. He doesn't know much about it at all. But, you know, I briefly explained to him the gospel, what Jesus wants from us, you know, to repent of our sins and just to ask him to come into our lives and trust in his finished work on the cross for our sins. And that's what guarantees us a place to heaven. It's not because we're good or because we go to church or because we read our Bible or any of that. No, the reason you get to go to heaven is because Jesus paid it all on the cross. God came to earth in the form of a man, related to us in our sinfulness, died for us, shed his blood to appease God's wrath. That's how God can be both just and merciful. Yes, we deserve hell because of our sin, but he doesn't want to send us to hell. He loves us. So, what is he to do? He has to punish sin in order to be just, but to be merciful and to love and to extend his love to us, he basically said, okay, I'm going to pour out God's wrath on my son Jesus. He's going to take the punishment for your sin. So friend, if you can trust in Jesus and believe that he died for you and raised again from the dead, just ask him into your life, ask him to be your Lord and Savior, you will be guaranteed a place to heaven when your life on earth is over. I explained this to my friend and prayed with him, and it was just a joyous feeling. I was so excited. I was like, Lord, this is what you've created me to do. This is what gives me the most joy in my life. And I thank him so much for that. All right, well, we have a couple of very interesting guests coming up I'm going to introduce to you right now. You know, everybody has reasons why they believe in God. And we're going to talk about some of those reasons today with my special guests, Marius Forte and Sam Sorbo. They've co-authored the book, The Answer, Proof of God in Heaven. And it's a very comprehensive book, takes a lot of angles on, you know, God and life and heaven and all those other light and fluffy topics that we love to talk about here in Divine Intervention. So let me introduce you to my good friends Sam Sorbo and Marius Forte. Both Sorbo and Forte have traveled the world and bring a wealth of experience to any topic of discussion. They are both published authors and successes in their respective fields. Sam Sorbo is an international fashion model, real estate developer, actress, wife, mother of three, writer, philosopher, hospital volunteer, and founder of TrueFeminist.com. She speaks five languages fluently and advocates homeschooling. Well, I guess if you were that smart, I would too. A native of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Sam first traveled abroad with her mother on a whirlwind tour of Europe that kindled her intense travel lust. She spent her senior year of high school as an exchange student in Sweden, then attended Duke University to study biomedical engineering. During college, she spent a year in Paris learning French and pursuing her interest in fashion and photography with the renowned elite modeling agency in Paris, France. Marius Forte is a practicing Catholic married to a wife of Jewish descent and was born and raised in Vienna but is fully Americanized. As a young man, he traveled and worked extensively throughout Europe and most of North Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, exploring in depth those areas' diverse religions, cultures, and political systems. For the past 20 years, he's lived in New York and is a real estate developer. And Forte is uniquely endowed to debate on almost any topic, intelligently, effortlessly, and with a grounded historical perspective. Not from hearsay, but from the greatest teacher of all, life itself. Their websites are TrueFeminist.com and TheAnswer-Book.com. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Marius Forte and Sam Sorbo right now on Divine Intervention. Marius and Sam, welcome to Divine Intervention Radio. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right. So I read your bios off the air. You both are very interesting and intriguing people. You've got a lot of background in media and just business and entrepreneurship. Sam, why don't we start with you? Tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, and you know why you believe in Jesus and you know what he means to you, and any instances of maybe miracles or divine interventions you've experienced.
Sure. I was raised in an atheist household by a woman who decided to raise me as a Jew. She was not Jewish herself, although I do have Jewish lineage. Sent all of us children to synagogue, and it just didn't work. I learned a little bit about the Bible, about the Old Testament, and I learned a little bit about faith, Jewish traditions, and holidays, and stuff like that. And then, as I got older, it just didn't feel right to me, and it seemed more like a waste of time. It was very cliquish at Sunday school, and I wasn't learning the things that I thought I needed to learn, so I quit.
Okay. Now, was your mom still an atheist while she was going to Hebrew synagogue?
She wasn't going to synagogue.
Oh, okay. She was just kind of sent you there?
We didn't practice in the house. She married a guy who was Protestant, so we celebrated Easter and Christmas. I think one year we did celebrate Hanukkah.
Okay.
It was just a mishmash. There was no real conviction anywhere.
Okay.
There was no real conviction. So it was just a form of education. Just learn about this was sort of the attitude. And when I hit my 20s, I was on my own. I needed to know reasons for why we're here, what this life is really all about. And I went on a big search. And in that search, I discovered that God exists and that there's actual proof of God. If we just look at the laws of the universe, there's an order to the universe. There is a cause and effect. Things don't just happen by chance.
Right.
In fact, chance doesn't exist. And the more that I discovered that, the more my quest led me to a belief in a supernatural being as creator,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, is God. Some people call it something else. I call it God. And mind you, there's a problem that a lot of people have with their own self-importance, that they are afraid to use the word God.
Mm.
But once I realized that God existed, I said, well, what better word can I say than God? So then I started looking for a place of worship. And of course, I went straight to the synagogue because that's how I was raised.
Okay.
And I didn't find a synagogue where I felt that comfortable. I tried several. I went to friends. And I finally ended up with a good friend of mine who's a Christian. And I said, do you go to church? And she said, yeah. I just started going to a church that's down the street, and I said, oh, could I go with you sometime?
Hmm.
And she looked at me with surprise, and this is where the miracle comes in. Because she said, of course I can take you to church. Well, she had not gone to church for a long time because she did not like feeling that she needed to proselytize.
Okay.
That made her uncomfortable. And she knew that the Bible, she interpreted the Bible to say, you must go out and proselytize. And that made her uncomfortable. So she had sort of drifted away from the church and had recently discovered a church that she enjoyed attending, so she was going to church. So when I asked her, would you bring me to church with you? She literally looked up at heaven and said, well, God, if that's what you're talking about,
That's pretty cool. So you kind of proselytized yourself almost, just made it easier for her.
I made it easy for her, made her understand that that's really what God is expecting of people who are comfortable with that. You see, God demands nothing more than what you can give.
Hmm. Okay.
You know? So I went to church with her. I found a huge comfort there. And then I started doing more research on this Jesus character. Like, who's that? I don't believe in Jesus. That's ridiculous. How can a man have come to earth and been a God and walked among us and blah, blah, blah? The story of Jesus is so incredibly beautiful.
It is.
It makes me cry. It's such an incredibly beautiful story.
And you had never heard this growing up, I take it.
No. And so once I discovered that story, which is so absolutely compelling, which is why people have to speak out so vehemently against Jesus, because his story is absolutely convicting and compelling. And once I discovered that, and then Marius always wanted to write this book, and I offered to write it with him. And while I was writing the book, it was like a prayer that was answered as I wrote it.
Mm. And again, the book is called The Answer, Proof of God in Heaven. It's by Marius Forte and Sam Sorbo, who are joining us now on Divine Intervention. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. Sam, that is absolutely fascinating how God just led you to this. And I want to come back to you in a little bit, but why don't we talk with Marius for a minute here. Now, Marius, you're from a Catholic background, and you've got a very interesting take on things. Tell us about your background and about yourself and your faith journey.
Well, I was born and raised in Austria, in Vienna, and I was allowed to visit an American school because that generation, my parents were grateful to America because Europe, certainly Austria and Germany, would not have experienced freedom. We all would have been raised differently if it wasn't for America.
Right.
So my parents were grateful to America. They probably loved the American flag as much as any American because they knew every day that they were living. They lived because of America and the freedom that Americans bought for us with their blood. Most of Central Europe, Southern Europe is Catholic, the North is Protestant, so I was born and raised in the Catholic faith. But since I was a young boy, since I was 4 or 5 years old, I sort of had an innate knowledge. I talked about it, even though I didn't have an intellectual capacity to explain it, I just talked about it as if I would read it from a sheet. My parents were very political, they invited friends over, we talked about politics and about religion, and even as a 10 or 11 years old, I would butt into the conversation and sort of answer questions that were so easy for me to answer. For instance, you know, is life just? And I sort of gave a very, very easy answer. My parents sort of raised the eyebrow and they didn't know where it came from. Not something you would normally get from a 10-year-old. I've always harbored this knowledge in me.
It kind of reminds me of Jesus teaching at the temple when he was like 12 years old and astounding everybody.
Well, I truly believe we all have access to the absolute truth. If we open ourselves to that, that truth can come to us.
Right.
If we keep that curtain closed, that truth will not come to us. It's up to us to desire which language we want to learn. If you want to learn French, open a French book. If you want to learn, you know, Swedish or maybe Spanish, you got to go open up a Swedish or a Spanish book. If you want to learn God, understand God, go buy the Bible and try and read the Bible, read the New Testament, try and understand Christ, that language will come. Not maybe, not possibly, but guaranteed. It's your choice.
Amen for that. And you've had several instances of divine interventions and miracles that you've witnessed and experienced in your own life. One that you told me that was pretty fascinating was about your father's battle with bladder cancer. Can you tell us that story? That was pretty amazing.
Let me just say something basically about miracles. If you have a computer, you have a screensaver. What is a screensaver? It is pixels arranged by an order that you chose that gives you a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else can't really change around because he doesn't have the code. If you want a different picture, which is just rearranging the pixels, very simple. You put in the code, you put in another picture, every child can do it. You can rearrange the pixels. What is your life? What is your body? It's parts of energy arranged in a certain form. What is your situation that you're in right now, today? It is parts of energy arranged in a certain way. How can we change that? How can we change the screensavers in our lives? It's by prayer. It's by God's grace. Everything is possible by God's grace. Everything. Jesus Christ brought Lazarus back from the dead because he can change the pixels in our life. I love to debate atheists because they have a problem with miracles, but they have no problems that the entire world came from the size of a pin.
Nothing.
Came from the size of a pin. That's okay with them, but they have a big problem with miracles.
Well, I would say if something came from nothing, that would be a pretty big miracle.
Well, of course, and it can't. You know, any mathematician knows in order to arrive a one cannot come from a zero.
Right.
And that's the big problem of an atheist. So miracles is just basically rearranging the pixels of our life with prayer and with divine intervention because all is possible with God.
Amen.
So we have small miracles. We have big miracles. I talk to God practically almost every moment of my life. Small things, stupid things, tiny things. Nothing is too small or nothing is too great for God because God's dimension is limitless. If you try to understand the fabric of God, just try to understand something that we're not made to understand, and that is infinity.
Right.
God's love for us is radical and infinite.
I understand that. I understand that you can't understand it, I should say. It's something that...
You can understand the direction.
Right.
You know, for us, everything sort of has a dimension. We love, a mother can love a child, a husband can love his wife, but love, in everything, there's a quality and a quantity of it. Love is like a drop of water, a river of water, an ocean, and so on and so on, but God's love is infinite. We don't have a concept of infinity, we just know it's much, much bigger. And that's why I say God's love for us is radical. And you have to see the greatness of God, what we're truly facing in that concept.
Okay. All right. Well, again, we're speaking with Sam Sorbo and Marius Forte. Their book is called The Answer, Proof of God in Heaven. And you can check out their website, theanswer-book.com. Let's take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to hear some of your own personal testimonies, and we'll get into the actual nuts and bolts of the book. And there's just so many points you bring out in the book. It's very comprehensive. So we'll get into that in the second half, okay? Again, my guests are Sam Sorbo and Marius Forte. I'm Daniel Fazina. Stay with us on Divine Intervention. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more from Daniel Fazina and Divine Intervention right after this.
Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334. First Steps to Success with ABC's secret millionaire, Danny Johnson, gives you the tools to remap your internal beliefs about yourself, about your money, and about others. You'll learn a simple but powerful system to create success in any environment, as well as business building, leadership, sales, and marketing skills to create the lifestyle most only dream about. First Steps to Success with Danny Johnson. More information can be found at DannyJohnson.com or phone 866-760-8255.
When the night's closing in, it's falling on my skin. Oh God, will you come close? You light, light, light up the sky. You light up the sky and show me you are with me. I can't deny, no, I can't deny that you are right here with me. You've opened my eyes, so I can see.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. And we've been speaking with our special guests, Marius Forte and Sam Sorbo. We're going to be talking about their new book, The Answer, Proof of God in Heaven. You can get it on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com and also on their website, www.theanswer-book.com. Marius and Sam, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So, Sam, I was talking to you a little bit off the air about an interesting divine intervention, or a miracle, if you will, that happened in the writing of this book. Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure. I was working on the book. It was, I have to say, writing a book about God sure brings you closer to God.
Amen to that. I can attest to that from firsthand experience.
And as I was preparing for the book, there was a big problem that developed in my personal life, and I was trying to figure out how to get it solved, and it's like it was just completely without a solution. It was a financial issue that had cropped up, and it was looming over my head, and I didn't know how I was going to get it done. And I prayed about it. I just prayed that somehow I would figure out how to get it or around it or something. And the strangest thing happened. So I prayed for probably 3 weeks because it was looming in the foreground, and I didn't know how to fix it.
Okay.
And then one day, my banker called me and he said, "Hey, you know, I was thinking about this thing because you mentioned a while ago that you were concerned about this. What if we did this?" And it was literally like changing, like putting the God over the I. It was a very silly clerical thing that fixed everything.
Wow.
Miracle. And it really almost, in a sense, it changed nothing. It was simply the perspective from which I looked at it that really changed the whole size and shape of the issue.
Mm.
And it really brought home to me that this life is basically perspective. None of this is real. It's all based on our perceptions of what we perceive as real or fake, and what really is real is God.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I love that when, you know, the answer could be staring us in the face and we won't recognize it until God opens our eyes or changes our perspective, and then we see things from a different angle, maybe from God's perspective. You know, he has a big picture. And
talk in the Bible of God changing people's hearts.
Right.
To me, that's the euphemism for changing their minds, for changing their viewpoint.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Jesus was a master at doing that. So the book is called The Answer, Proof of God in Heaven. Tell us, first of all, why did you write this book, and what is it about for people who aren't familiar with it?
Well, let me be clear. It's really Marius's book that I wrote. So it's both of ours books, but it was really his idea.
Okay.
And it was inside of him for a very long time, and I just volunteered to get it down on paper.
Okay.
The answer, Proof of God in Heaven, takes the naturalistic laws that are beyond interpretation. You can believe in God or not. You can be Jewish, an atheist, an agnostic, a Muslim, a Catholic. Gravity works. It doesn't make a difference.
Right.
And dark room, if you open the curtain, light comes in and darkness goes out. Light will always eliminate darkness. It's not about interpretation of that law. These are the laws. We have universal laws that are absolute. And I'll give you one example. The moment we have a law, it eliminates the possibility of randomness or chance. Chance, in fact, doesn't exist. So understanding that we have a law eliminates the possibility of chance to be the creator of this universe, which is called cosmos.
Okay.
So once we understand that randomness had nothing to do with the creation, the only other possibility is that this creation was created by a creator that we call God. It is actually that simple. If you hold up a wine glass, that wine glass tells you something for sure, 100%. Before that glass came to be, there was the thought, the formulating idea of wine glass. That thought is pure spirit. You cannot weigh it. You cannot measure it. But without that thought, that wine glass could never be. Now you can break the wine glass.
Right.
But the thought still exists. Every house that you see bears witness to its architect. A footprint in the sand bears witness to a man or a woman who walked on that beach.
Hmm.
Every son bears witness to his father. If you have a son, he must have a father. If you have a mother, and I know this woman is a mother, she must have a child. That is called the law of polarity. These laws are absolute.
Very interesting.
When I lived in Africa, and I lived in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, and I lived in Europe and in America, and I traveled a tremendous amount, I realized the human experience is incredibly similar. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you live in the jungle, if you live someplace in Albania, we all face the same gates. We are, in fact, in the gym of life. If you understand what the gym of life is, we are facing resistance from morning till night. But the strange thing is, every weight that you face in that gym of life will actually make you stronger. You cannot force weights up in that gym and not have an effect on your muscles. Those weights are never meant to stay up. The design of the weights is to always come down. So in a way, we cannot solve the problems of this life because they are not meant to be solved by us.
Hmm.
It just meant that we actually face them, and by facing them, we are creating ourselves.
Okay. That kind of reminds me of scripture verses that say that, you know, like when trials come, they build up your character, you know, and they produce patience in us and long-suffering, and they basically, you know, God can use those to prune us and to make us better, adversity in our lives. A lot of people, you know, of course, it's painful going through it sometimes, often actually. But I can attest, at least from my own life, looking back, when I've gone through very difficult circumstances in my life, I can see that God was doing a work in me, you know, making me a better person, producing patience in my life, and that sort of thing.
You know, Daniel, say it's painful going through this.
Yeah.
What do we do when we go to a gym? Assuming we have a private trainer, right? If you lift those 5-pound weights 4 times, there's no growth. That trainer's going to say, come on, pack on extra weight. And he tells you, 5 more, come on, you can do it, 4 mm-hmm. more. And you're screaming out, I can't. He says, come on, 3 more, 2 more repetitions, 1 more. That's when you have the greatest growth.
Right.
That is the principle of life. The principle of life is not to hang out on the beach and have another rum and coke. The principle of life is, and there's a principle at work here, we all face resistance from morning till night, from the moment we are born. But all those little problems collectively create us. You cannot go to a tennis court and play tennis over and over again without getting a better tennis career. Now, do you remember the problems you had on a tennis court 3 months ago, 3 years ago? No. But collectively, these problems that you had and overcoming these problems on the tennis court make you a better tennis player.
Mm.
That's the same principle we're facing in life.
Interesting.
Sometimes when it's painful, it is when we grow the most.
Absolutely. I can attest to that going through cancer and other problems that I've had, and it just made me a better person. And ultimately, the Bible says that in Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And I can see that in my own life and the lives of many people I know who are also serving God. And yeah, they go through trials, but yet God turns them around for good. Now, your book, The Answer, is very comprehensive. I mean, you've got chapters in there like, do time and matter exist? Is this life real? What is the soul? Very, very deep topics, and quite a few of them. But before we get into the meat of it, I would love for you to share the story of the miraculous healing that your father received from bladder cancer. That's, cancer is something I've been through, and I think that's something that'll really encourage our listeners. Can you share that story with us?
Yes, let me just talk about the principles of miracles for a second.
Okay.
In my eyes, there are miracles that are maybe more evident and less evident. In the Catholic Church, you have three criteria for a miracle before the Church would accept a miracle. Number one, you have to either ask God or Christ or a saint for direct intervention. Number two, the healing process has to be instant.
Mm-hmm, right.
It means you're blind. You don't heal over a week, over a day, over 5 hours. You are like struck with lightning. You can see. And number three, it is absolute. Assuming you're paraplegic, you don't sort of get out of your wheelchair and sort of can walk a bit, which would be a miracle to us. No, you get up and you walk.
Right.
There is nothing left from your former sickness.
Let me interject one thing in here, too, because this might clarify. I love what my friend Sid Roth says. When you're talking about healing miracles, he says a miracle is an instant healing, and a healing is a gradual miracle. And I kind of like the way he puts that, because sometimes miracles are gradual, and the healings are gradual. Other times they're instantaneous. But I just wanted to make that point in there. I know it's very different from what the Catholic Church teaches and believes. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, my miracles would not qualify for the rigid test of the Catholic Church.
Right.
But I'll tell you, I know I saw these miracles. I'll give you an example. My father, when he was 60, was diagnosed with bladder cancer. And it has progressed. And we met the surgeon, and it was one of the best surgeons in Vienna. And he basically told us, it doesn't look good. And I don't want to get into details. It has metastasized. It has spread. He will operate. Don't put your hopes up. My father will lose a lot of blood. And he showed us the x-ray pictures. He showed us where the cancer was, and he was like somebody who has freckles
mm-hmm.
all over.
Right.
My father went through a tremendous surgery. They prepared a lot of extra blood, and when the surgery was done, my father was rolled away into a wake-up room, and the surgeon came down, and he had a very serious face, so we all expected that it really went bad. And he sort of removed his mask and talked to us, and he said, come in, I want to show you something. And we were ready for the worst. We thought, it must watch worse. And then he said, I just don't quite understand it. There was a lot less cancer. Here are the two pictures to prove it. Your father hardly lost any blood. The operation was much simpler than we thought. Now, the night before, my brother, I, and my mother got together with a man who was called Wenninger in Vienna. He was famous. You could pay for him, but he had special prayers. And we were all kneeling down to Christ and asked for Christ's direct intervention.
Mm.
We really prayed, and he had a special prayer where he basically went through the entire body of my father to straighten my father's body out, and especially that cancer, to make it go away.
I love that.
When that surgeon came down, and sort of his astonishment was more as a surgeon, as a medical professional, as somebody who's seen it all, suddenly sees something that he doesn't comprehend. We always knew that God will help us. So we understood that what happened there was a small miracle. He would not have passed the rigorous test of the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church would have said it had to be instant complete. It wasn't complete.
Well, I mean, to your family, it probably was a big miracle, wouldn't you think?
Oh, it was a big miracle for us, of course.
Yeah.
When you see the x-rays and you see one was like, freckles, thousands of little dots, and on the other one there was probably 20, 30, and it was only in one place, and he could actually cut it out, and my father didn't lose any blood or very little blood, and all the blood they had saved, they didn't need. Something dramatically happened to put this kind of serious face on the surgeon who was really explaining to us that something just happened that he can't explain.
Now, the prognosis prior to this was not good, right? And they
extremely bad. No, he basically told us that's it.
Okay. And your father went on to live many years after that.
Another 15 years. Enjoyed
wow.
his life, and we enjoyed him.
That's awesome.
Blessed with the greatest parents.
You know, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when this gentleman prayed, he obviously prayed very specific things and asked Jesus out loud, you know, heal this man. And I don't know exactly what he said, but there's power in those words, and we need to do that. And, you know, when I was sick and going through cancer, I had cut out scriptures about God's healing, and I put them all around my bed. You know, when I was sick, I would read them out loud and just kind of proclaim them over my body. And, you know, I'm sure there were many, many factors of why I was healed, but I think that was one that was definitely crucial.
Well, what happened here is God rearranged the pixels of our screensaver.
I love it.
That's all that happened. It's all energy. And by praying specifically, you cannot change your screensaver if you don't have the code.
Right.
He sort of put the numbers in, sort of. It's not going to change the screensaver.
Mm.
Here this man prayed with us specifically to my father's cancer, addressed every piece and part of it, typed in the right numbers, you could say, into the screensaver, and the pixels got rearranged. That I'm sure of.
Mm. I love it. Friend, if you're just joining us, you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and we are speaking with our special guests, Sam Sorbo and Marius Forte. We're talking about their book, The Answer, Proof of God in Heaven. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and of course their website, theanswer-book.com. So why don't we get into the nuts and bolts of the book itself. Again, I mentioned there's quite a few different topics in here. It's very comprehensive, and you've got chapters with like questions, what are the laws of the universe, who created the universe and its laws, do time and matter exist, is this life real, and other light and fluffy topics as we like to talk to here on Divine Intervention. Is there any particular chapter you'd want to get into that would be what you would think would be the most important or crucial aspects of this book that you want to communicate?
Well, I think all parts of a whole, but let me give you one example.
Okay.
One of the oldest questions is this life just? We see injustice every day, and we say, is this life just? What is the principles of the universe? It's balance. Everything is balanced, but it's time delayed. A pendulum takes 1 second to go from 30 degrees to swing out to 30 degrees to come back. Fall will take 6 months to be balanced by spring. If I can only experience fall and I see the last leaf fall, and that is my only expectation, I will not understand that spring will come and renew everything.
Okay.
So, is the life just is the same question as if asking, is this universe balanced? We know this life is balanced 100% because balance cannot be 99.9%, but it's always time delayed. If we can bear witness to it through our life expectancy or not, balance is the essence of this universe. There's nothing that can exist without balance. You can only breathe in as much as you were breathing out. You can only jump 100 yards if you're climbing 100 yards.
Okay.
Everything is balanced. Everything is just. And that brings us directly back to God. There's an analogy which goes like this. If God is good, he must be just. If justice is good, then he must be true. You cannot have truth without justice or goodness. If God is good, if a judge is good, he must be just, because there cannot be goodness without justice. Everything is just. You know, the Chinese say, what comes around goes around, the yin, the yang.
Mm-hmm.
Christ said, whatever you sow, you shall reap.
Right.
The principle of the cause and effect, which is a physical law. Everything is balanced.
Interesting.
And it doesn't escape. The universe cannot forget, because it's not meant to forget. Not once does gravity not work. That's why pendulum always comes back. We will face justice. It doesn't matter for the smallest or for the greatest thing. Nothing is lost in this universe. We can forget. The universe can't.
Okay. Now, Sam, I wanted to get back to a point you brought up about chance. You said that chance does not exist. And, in my life, I've played games of dice and I've played cards and stuff like that. And I do believe that chance does exist. Maybe I just don't understand the concept, as you and Marius put it. But can you explain that to me and to our audience? Like, why do you believe chance does not exist?
I would love to, because I find this really exciting. So one of the ways that I discovered God was I looked into astrology. And this is what's funny. If you delve into astrology, you understand that there are things in the stars. There's like an order to things, you know, star signs and stuff like that. But it's way too much for a human being's mind to understand or digest.
Okay.
Once I figured that out, though, that's what led me on a search for God, for the creator, the person who ordered the universe, right?
Okay.
So now we come to the question of, well, does chance exist? If the laws are there, then how can chance possibly still exist? And I'll tell you where chance resides between you and your perception. So if you take a coin, you flip a coin 10 times, how many times is it going to come up heads and how many times is it going to come up tails?
I would say probably 5 and 5, but not always in that order.
Right? It's 50-50.
Yep.
And this is, so bear with me. So basically every flip is 50-50, but if you do it 10 times, pretty much going to have 5 to 5 or 4 to 6. If you do it 100 times, it's going to be about 50-50. If you do it 1,000 times, it'll be closer to 500-500, right?
So okay.
The more opportunities you give it, the closer it comes to an even 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
What this implies is that the further you distance yourself from a single event, the less that chance exists.
Hmm.
So if you go out into the scale of infinity, chance no longer exists. And of course, God lives on the infinite plane, on the eternal plane.
Okay.
They experience a single coin tossed up in the air and landing one way or the other. That looks like chance to us. Now, here's what's incredible with this. If you take this idea that it's 50-50, and after 100 flips, it'll be roughly 50-50, there's a memory bank somewhere that remembers what the first flip and the second flip and the third flip, they be on all heads. So the last three flips have to be all tails to even that out.
Hmm. Very interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
There's a memory bank throughout the 100 flips that get us to our 50-50.
So you think that memory bank was, like, programmed into the universe by God?
Well, that's God. That's basically the negation of any existence of chance. I don't believe in coincidence. I think coincidences are fun to look at, but they don't actually exist. They're simply our perspective.
Okay. So you think that everything that happens has meaning, basically, even if we don't understand it?
Absolutely. Imagine that my banker would call me and solve this riddle that I was struggling with for weeks on end.
Mm-hmm.
With a simple changing a wording of something, and it would be solved. The problem was in my head. The solution came from him completely haphazardly, and yet it was all ordained.
Mm. I love it. That is good stuff. Yeah, I wow. Okay, since you put it that way.
Something about chance?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
If chance would truly exist, then the laws of the universe couldn't work.
Okay, why do you
either
think?
You have chance or you have the laws. You can't have both.
You can't
that
have
means
both.
You, either gravity works or it doesn't. If chance would exist, we would have gravity today. We would have more gravity, maybe less gravity, and then no gravity.
And sometimes I could fly.
And sometimes we could fly, exactly.
Hmm.
But gravity works exactly, and we can measure it exactly. The laws of polarity work exactly. The universal laws, which are God's laws that are beyond interpretation, it doesn't matter what faith you are and if you have no faith. These work exactly, precisely. Not once does spring come before winter. Not once. Not once.
Right. Yeah, well, you know.
And what's amazing is you can't, they still don't have a good explanation for magnetism, for instance. It simply is.
Okay.
It's an established thing, and it is. Same thing with metamorphosis. And any metamorphosis, the worm turning into a butterfly,
mm-hmm.
is a miracle.
It is. I actually have a poster of that, of a butterfly, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly on my wall, and it has the scripture verse from 2 Corinthians that says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the symbol of a butterfly is something that I always equate with that and the transformation, the spiritual transformation that we go through when we give our lives to the Lord.
Right.
Good stuff.
The idea that it's not a miracle is ridiculous. Just because it's happened and won't do it every day doesn't make it any less miraculous. And
right.
We have to understand that we are surrounded by miracles every day. It's simply our perspective that changes them into sort of a mundane thing.
Right. Now, I want to ask you this. people look at the world through their own glasses, if you will, their worldview glasses. And it's amazing to me how two people can look at the same thing maybe like the butterfly or the Grand Canyon, and they can come to completely different conclusions about what happened. Well, did the Colorado River carve the Grand Canyon over millions of years, or was it a flood in the days of Noah that caused it? You know, was it natural processes, or was it God? You know, and you guys have obviously you've written this book, The Answer, and you've debated a lot of people. And my question is, in your debates and your, you know, in having people read this book, are you seeing that people are starting to think and open up to the possibility of God? And the reason I ask this is because I have a lot of friends who are atheists and agnostics, and I used to debate with them constantly, and they would challenge me in my faith. But I found it more effective to just, you know, love them and share with them my own personal testimony of why I believe in God and what He's done for me in my life. I found that to be more effective than arguing and debating with people. But I know different people have different results. So what has been your experience in talking to friends and the way you go about it as far as pointing them to God?
Let me just go back to your question about how we answer and how people maybe answer the same question in different ways. Answers are usually done out of the reflection of our souls.
Okay.
It's our experiences that give our own answers. If you have a dark soul, you will answer it differently than if you have a light soul. If you ask God to come into your heart, if you open that curtain and light comes in, you will be enlightened. You will have a different soul perspective to any problem that this life, you know, basically throws at you. And the best way to explain that is just look at art. Art for 2,000 years was God-inspired, and there was a quest for beauty. Today, art is ugly. If you have an artist who has never opened himself up to God, he has an ugly soul, a dark soul. And now look at his art. It is dark. It is threatening. There's no God in it. It is lifeless. There's nothing in it. There's nothing empowering you. People see the world through the prism of his soul because that's the way he directed himself.
Okay.
So we will answer questions very much the reflection of who we are and how
right.
we've created ourselves.
Hmm.
This also goes back to the book, in The Answer, Proof of God in Heaven. There's a whole chapter on happiness. Happiness is a choice. It's
right.
not something that happens to you. It's an actual choice. And belief is a choice. You choose what you want to believe. The facts are the facts, but a lot of people refuse to look at facts, and they just want to look at what they want to see.
Right.
And they see what they want to see. And so I've had people say to friends of mine, in fact, this happened the other day, my husband heard from a friend of his, and the guy said, hey, I just talked to this guy, and he told me he just read the most amazing book that changed his life. Guess what the book was? It was The Answer, Proof of God in Heaven. Send my congratulations to his wife.
Awesome.
We all are imbued with a sense of logic.
Right.
And that's what this book speaks to. But we allow our emotions to take over, and what we want to believe or what we want to feel becomes more important than the truth.
Right. I think I heard it said that people tend to believe what they prefer to be true. And a lot of times people have already made up their minds. They're not open-minded to these questions. But I think for the person who's truly seeking, I think this would be a good read for them. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to thank you both. Again, my guests have been Marius Forte and Sam Sorbo. The book is called The Answer, Proof of God in Heaven. Do check it out on Amazon and also on their website, theanswer-book.com. Sam and Marius, thank you so much for joining me on Divine Intervention. I appreciate you both.
Thank you so much
thank
for having
so
us.
Much.
You've been listening to Divine Intervention with your host, Daniel Fazina. You can email Daniel at divineintervention@mail.com. That's divineintervention@mail.com. All programs of Divine Intervention are available online at divineinterventionradio.com. That's divineinterventionradio.com. Join us next time here on Divine Intervention.